Hey everyone, welcome to Tom's Tips Podcast, your place for obscure movie references, cat facts, and everything Mag Hub related. And now your host, Mag Hub Product Manager, Tom Bellin.
Hello, all Mag Hub Podcast listeners. Welcome to Mag Hub's Tom's Tips Podcast 8.0. I am Tom Bellin, Product Manager for Mag Hub, and I am joined, as always, by our Marketing Director, Zach Gilbert. Say hello to the pod listeners, Zach.
Hey, everybody.
All right. So, Zach, we've had an argument in the office the last couple of days about Netflix streaming services involving Stranger Things. And I thought we could get the podcast involved. Maybe they can tell us how their thoughts on it. So as you know, Stranger Things came out, and I binge-watched it. You binge-watched it. We had a few people in the office who started and haven't finished it, and it leads down to the questions of spoilers. And so I think we're having a bit of an argument of how much time do you give someone in today's age of binge-watching before you start openly talking about it. And I know you were animated about this. Can you give the pod listeners a little bit of a feeling on how you view – and what is a spoiler time frame for somebody in binge watching?
Sure. I think it depends heavily on how long the show is. I mean, Stranger Things is 8 45-minute shows. I think the last one's, I guess, an hour and 15 minutes. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a chunk of time, but it's not binge watching Game of Thrones season one. It's a little bit of a longer time commitment. So I would say I'm pretty harsh on this just because I like Stranger Things so much and I want to talk about it. But I give somebody a week. If they don't watch it in a week, that's on them. And then I'm going to talk about it freely. Unless I specifically know they haven't watched it, then I'll try to avoid them. But I think a week is more than enough time. I mean, I was reading online that 40.8 million people started watching it and 18.2 million finished it within the first 24 hours. So I think that says something. Like, you should finish it.
Well, I guess this question, like, should you get a full week, or is it like a time frame since when you started watching it? Because I don't know if something happens, you're out of town. But if I view it as like, hey, I started watching it on Wednesday. Maybe they should get a week after the point of when they started it. I don't know. I also think it depends a little bit on who you are. Because I would say, like, if you come into the office and say, I haven't watched it yet, then I think at that point, from the point someone uses that phrase, like, I haven't watched it yet, they get a day. It's like, well, like, for instance, it's our intern, they haven't watched it. He has nothing to do. He could go home and watch it right away. So it's like, if at this point we want to start talking about it and you haven't watched it, if you are young and don't have kids, you have until tomorrow to catch up. Otherwise, we freely talk about it. Wow. I think if it's someone like has a wife or kids or something, you should give them like 3 days. Sure. Because that's what it took for me, is like, you know, you can get through 3 hours there. But I think maybe that's how I would handle it, is once you've set the precedence of we're talking about the show at this point, no one has watched it, they get an extra day or so. So at this point, I think we can openly talk about it because it's just our intern who hasn't watched it yet. Someone else hasn't watched it?
Yeah, well, I mean, our CEO, I think, has only watched a couple of them. And so, then our creative director only watched a few of them.
All right. So they're both on the day. I think actually definitely by next week, I think that's on them at that point for spoiler. I mean, I think there's a level of responsibility that determines. But if you do not have a wife, you do not have kids, then you should be able to watch 8 hours of television in one night. I don't see why that's such a problem anymore. but, you know, maybe the reason they weren't able to watch it was because they were so busy working on the 8.0 release, which went out. Obviously, a little later than normal because we were binge watching Stranger Things, obviously, so we didn't get finished. No, that's not it. It was with the holiday season, a couple days off. We had to push the release off, so the release went out just this week. Actually, today is the day we're recording it. A lot of exciting things because we've moved on from the 7 series to the 8s, which is 8s are great. So it's an exciting time. We actually sent out a blog post of covering all the things we did in 7.0, which was a lot. But in the 8.0 release, we've introduced a new menu structure. So we moved to the left-hand menu. Pretty much you'll see left-hand menu, a lot of modern sites. Gives you kind of a lot of easier ways to help with the navigation side of it. Kind of looks a lot better. So we've released that to beta so people can start playing with it to get feedback. We know that the MAGA menu can be quite intimidating at times, so we're hoping the way we reorganize it is helpful. We'd love to get feedback and some other ways that we can improve it. We've already had some thoughts about that, so might make some additional tweaks. And again, for now, you will have to enable it by clicking on the toggle at the top right of your page to view the menu structure. At some point, if we feel that it's good and we get a lot of positive feedback, we'll flip it on and be the main menu. But right now, if you have a chance, take a look at it. Let us know your thoughts, feelings about it. Would be great. Along with that, we've continued again our push to expand out some of the e-commerce capabilities. You know, we've been working on this for a while. We know there's a lot of just not as many open items to get done. One of the big ones was adding an importer because we've had the storefront so people can do kind of small orders. If you don't have a storefront, you've been able to use that. But if you do have a WooCommerce, a Shopify, a BigCommerce, or Wix storefront, and you want to get the orders into our system, you can use our importer now to do that. You can bring things in as fully paid, fully shipped. So maybe you're using other shipping services than ours, but you want all the money, the tracking within one system, you can do that. Or you can just bring in the orders and use our integration we have with EasyPost to be able to do shipments from our system. So we have that importer. Also being able to do more on the back office side as far as finding contacts, associating with promo codes, free shipping promo codes, it's all been expanded, as well as updating some of the reports to better filtering on that as well. Another one of the initiatives we've been working on over the last few months is with vendors, as we're just finishing up some of the odds and ends there of introducing the ability for vendors to approve or reject a purchase order. We've had that ability on the editorial side, but this allows a vendor, so if you're submitting something for your printer and you want to start keeping track costs there, or other suppliers, you can do that. And again, they can accept or reject the purchase orders, which they couldn't do before. And we keep track of all that record, and as well as updating some of the email capabilities there too. For the subscription side, being able to now bundle subscriptions. So if you sell print and digital or newsletter, you want to offer all that in one nice package to the customer to purchase, they can purchase it that way. But behind the scenes, we will break out all the individual subscriptions that they have so you can do fulfillment on those. So very common if, hey, you know, you subscribe here for, you know, $20, you get both the print and the digital subscription in one instead of having to buy both. So I think that'll help customers greatly reduce kind of the hassle of entering two subscriptions, because now you can just enter it as one and have all that record in their system to keep track of. And those are some of the kind of the bigger ticket items that we've added. We've also given users the ability to quickly add information about an advertiser, company, or contact using a quick fill action based on the website URL of the company or the email domain of the user. Again, you'll get a pop-up of, hey, this is what we know about the person. You can choose to use that and populate the system to make it quickly way to add companies and contacts or modify the data. You always want to just be careful with that, because obviously the data that you're getting from, maybe you just talked to the person and they just moved and software doesn't know that quite yet. So you always want to just be careful before you do that, but hopefully it'll help out, as well as showing the company logo on the homepage and linking directly to their site. So we think that'll be a nice little feature for people to start using. Also, just added, again, as usual, some additional updates and new filters to things like our consolidated sales report, which we had a recent release, more filters with that, being able to add more colors in the Mag Builder. Again, added some different currencies. So a lot of different things that we do. Again, some of the main features that we want to update, the e-commerce, the payables, our menu structure, as long as with some of the improvements that we gather from feature requests to get into the system as well, and then with all the fixes. So I think overall, there were about 80 different tasks that went into this release. So I think actually it was 80.0 that just hit me. That is amazing. So with that, Zach, I don't know if there's anything in particular in this release that really stands out that's gets you excited for the 8.0 series?
Two things. I love the left-hand nav. I was definitely, the first original, top bar worked really well, but left-hand nav just seems a little bit sleeker. Putting everything in alphabetical order seems to be a pretty easy process to kind of find what you're looking for. There are a few changes I'm still getting used to, and obviously, providing feedback here and there when I come across it. But overall, I think it looks really nice. It's a really clean system. And I would also say the quick fill stuff is really cool. I know, we get it from a third-party vendor, which which is, you know, sometimes it's not always the most accurate, but I've been playing around with a lot of different contacts, and most of it's been pretty accurate overall. So that's been a pretty cool experience, and especially since it's free, that's pretty cool addition as well. So those are my two biggest things I've liked.
Yeah, I really think that information gathering is going to be really helpful, and always nice to see the logo of the company too in that side. And yeah, I think the left-hand menu, as you get used to it, is still, I think there's a little bit of muscle memory for me of like, what? Oh yeah, a little different, but it's definitely helpful, and I just improves the look of the screen. So I'm excited for that change as well. But you know, I was thinking as we're going through this about Stranger Things a little bit. And did you like the Stranger Things season?
Zach? I did.
Were you a fan? Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm big into the 80s kind of thing. I mean, 80s bands have been my favorite band since birth. So I don't think Stranger Things, I mean, to be honest, Stranger Things could have a terrible plot and I probably would still like it just because the soundtracks always get to me. So I'm not unbiased about it, unfortunately. So, but I did think the storyline in season 3 was much better than season 2. I thought it moved along at a better progression, which I enjoyed. Season 1 will obviously always be my favorite. I mean, it reminded me the most of the Goonies, which is really nice. But no, I enjoyed season 3 extensively.
So that's interesting you mentioned Goonies, because that's how I was going to transition into both the Cafback and the movie question day. Trying to keep it simple there. So when we were watching Stranger Things, my wife was, well, she's expecting her next child. And it was one of those times where it hasn't happened often, the, you know, the stereotypical pregnancy craving. Mm-hmm. I had to stop the show and run and get ice cream for her to eat. So tying into, you know, the Goonies feel, because everyone ties that in. You had Sean Astin, who's in the second season, is what is, very simply, the famous, what is the type of ice cream that Goonies made so famous with Chunk and all those guys. So if you can just give us that ice cream flavor, you will win the prize. Just tweet that at MAGA to win your prize. Again, what is the ice cream flavor? When you think of Goonies, what do you think of? I think, you know, should be pretty obvious if you're a Goonies fan. I'm based on Zach's little sniffle. I think he knows the answer already. But that also led to some of the cat fact. What's interesting is when we eat ice cream, our cats are ridiculous. They need the ice cream. They need to put their paw on the ice cream and grab it. And the reason why that's just interesting is two things, actually. Is one, it can't be because of the sweetness, because cats actually sense of taste, they don't really have the sweet component. They can't taste sweet things. So maybe it's something to do with the fat, or you think about the classic thing of cats with milk. But actually, cats drinking milk is just a kind of a myth. They're lactose intolerant. So the question really is, why is our cat so obsessed to eat ice cream when they can't taste the sweetness and it's going to make them sick? And the only thing I can always do is that the cat just knows that it's annoying and that's why it does it, because that's why cats do anything. But anyway, that is the cat facts today of lactose intolerant and they can't taste anything that's sweet, which means why they're so mean all the time. But that is it for the 8.0 podcast. Again, very exciting release. Excited for it. Next release will be coming out soon, again in a month, in August. Anything you want to say, Zach, before we wrap up this podcast?
Just that next month also marks our MagHub Fall Forum, so get your tickets while you still can. We've added about 8 new groups now in this last week alone, so it'll be a really diverse group of publishers of all types, B2B, B2C, niche. It'll be a really good get-together. It'll be our biggest one yet. We have more signups this year than last year, and it should be good.
Yeah, and it'll be an exciting time to. We're going to kind of go over in some different sessions some of those, the bigger initiatives we have been doing over the last few months. So I know a lot of times your releases come quick. People are busy. They can't catch up on those things. So if that is something that's been interesting, you want to get into the payable side or more on the e-commerce side or some of the other features that we've released, but we haven't had time to do, we are going to have special sections on each kind of a lot of different components of the system. So we'll give you that time to sit down with us, meet us, and maybe kind of try and get some of those things going for the fall. So we're excited. Sign up for the forum. And yeah, everyone have a great weekend. And thank you as always, Zach.
Thank you.